or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Of the Saturday morning service of March the 30th, 1991, Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dick Mills is ministering scriptures to the congregation, to the individuals in the congregation.
Everybody say, good news, it's only going to get better. Okay. Psalms 115. Pardon me, it's Psalms 116, 8 and 9. Listen to this. You've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And you're going to do some kingdom walking, lady. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? And no weak ankles either. Matthew 10, 20, people are going to ask you questions. But you're not going to struggle for the answers.
Thank you, Lord.
It'll be given you right at that moment what you're to say. It's not you that speaks. It's your Heavenly Father speaking through you. And 1 Peter 3:15 says you're going to be ready at a moment's notice to have the answer for the hope that's in you.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that something? Nobody ever caught Jesus off guard, blindsided, or took him by surprise. And the reason why not is because he got up early in the morning and he said, the Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. And if you get up early in the morning and seek the Lord, God will show you the whole day. And you can get through the day that no matter what happens, it will never surprise you. Okay, ma'am. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, stretch forth the curtain of your habitation, and enlarge your borders, because you're going to break out on the left hand and on the right hand. And he said, it is now time for your giftings, your talents, and your capabilities to have an expanded sphere of influence. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? God, that's a good word. Ooh, what's your name, Tiger? She said she's had that verse two times before. How many believe the Lord's trying to tell her something? What's your name?
Joseph.
Isaiah 34:16. If you'll seek out of the book of the Lord and read, you'll find promises that will never fail you. Psalms 119:9, 119:11. Question and answer. How can a young man ever hope to make it through this world and survive like these people have survived? What's the chances of a young man ever surviving and getting through this life without being all beat up by circumstances and the world? And the answer is by taking heed to the Word of God. And I want everybody to say it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart.
Thy Word have I hid in my heart.
That I might not sin against the Lord. God's going to show you how to commit massive amounts of Scripture to memory. And you're not going to be a Pac-Man. You're going to be a Word Man. It isn't going to be Inky, Pinky, Blinky, and Clyde. It's going to be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that something? Come on up here and let me bless the brother. I was in Ogden, Utah with the Bull Gospel. And they had 15 ex-Mormons. And just for relaxation, I was sipping from some coffee, and these Mormons had a tough time with it. Man, they couldn't reconcile me moving in the Spirit and sipping coffee. So finally I stopped and I said, guys, I got to tell you, I only go by the Word, and I've got a scripture for coffee drinking. And they said, no, no way. And I said, yeah, I've got a scripture for it. Mark 16:17, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you, you know. So I want you to know us coffee drinkers are going to stick together. Okay, it's my way of relaxing. What's your name?
Daniel.
Have you ever been in the lion's den? No, I don't think you're ever going there. Daniel,
Job 8:7 says, though your beginning is small, your latter days are going to increase. And God has great plans for the future, and you're included in those plans. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, Daniel, that's your word. I'd like husbands and wives together if we could do it. I got two senior citizen scriptures. Do you think you'll make it?
I don't know.
I want to tell you the definition of old age. Old age is 20 years older than what you are right now. Man, that is old. My wife grew up on a farm in southern Illinois. Just got filled with the Holy Spirit. We're in Lubbock, and I got lobar pneumonia because of a dust storm changing a tire on a trailer, and they rushed me to the Methodist hospital. Here she grew up, a sweet little Baptist lady, and I had lobar pneumonia and the temperature 106 in Lubbock at the Methodist hospital, and I fell over on the floor, and the doctor says to her, he's gone. And the Lord gave her this scripture because I was laying flat on the floor, lifeless. And Job 5:26 is what the Lord gave my sweet wife. And we were really, had just been newly married less than 6 months. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full old age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. 15 minutes later, I woke up on the fourth floor in an oxygen tent. And I had just had an out-of-the-body experience. And Jesus sent me back with a message on how to forgive people that were adversarial and confrontational and critical. And I just woke up and I said, hey, I just saw Jesus, and he gave me love for all the people that have been hurt, you know. And she said, well, I got a word. And it was, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full old age. So you guys are going to be around a long time. Yeah. I want you to know that. Yeah. And don't plan on checking out just yet. And listen to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age, I'm the Lord. Even to your gray hairs, I'm going to carry you. I have made you. I'll bear you up. I'll carry you and I'll deliver you. And listen to Psalms 92. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody that's past 50 ought to be taking these scriptures. Listen to Psalms 92. Verse number 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. The Rotherham translation says you're going to remain vigorous and fresh. The New International Version says you're going to stay fresh and green. The Berkeley Bible says you're going to be full of life and vitality. And the Amplified Bible says you're going to be full of spiritual vitality and rich in contentment. And I have a King James Bible here, Psalms 92, 13 and 14. And I live with the fact that there are people that don't like the modern translations. And they just say, hey, what does the King James say? The King James says you're going to be fat and flourishing. So take your choice. I'd like to minister to this whole household. Isaiah 32:18, you're going to dwell in a peaceful habitation, a sure dwelling, and a quiet resting place. And God is going to so permeate your home with his presence that non-Christian relatives and friends that come in there are going to be melted by the very presence of the Lord. Proverbs 3:33 says there is a special blessing over your home that is sending a signal in every direction where you live that Jesus is resident there and that these are people that are serving the Lord. Proverbs 1:33. I want everybody to say it for this couple. I want you to say it for yourself. One out of seven homes will be broken into in America in 1991. But yours does not need to be broken into. I want you to say it with me from Proverbs 1:33. He that hearkens to my word shall dwell in safety and shall be quiet from the fear of all harm. Isn't that neat? Safest home in your state. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 31:6-8, he it is that doth go before thee. Fear thou not, neither be dismayed. He'll not fail thee, he'll not forsake thee. For the Lord is he that doth go before thee. Exodus 33:14, my presence shall go with you, and you'll have peace wherever you go. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Okay, could we get another line of people up here? Here's your piece of paper. He gave me a prophetic forecast that in the future you're going to be surrounded by people with high IQ that are humanistic and very skeptical, and that when they find out you believe in the Bible and the miracles of the Bible, you're going to get challenged, but your testimony is going to disarm them. Jeremiah 32:27. Your word to the intellectual agnostic and the human skeptic, humanistic skeptic, is, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there really anything too difficult for me? At Jeremiah 32:27, God's going to give you the ability to testify right in a setting of unbelief and intellectual arrogance and conceit. And the end result is Jeremiah 32:17. You're going to hear with your own lips people saying, Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm, and there is nothing too difficult for you. So don't let their unbelief stifle your creativity. Ma'am, Psalms 81:10, I just brought you out. You open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. At Exodus 4:12, you just go, I'll be with your mouth, and I'll give you the words you're going to say to people. What state do you live in? Arkansas. Everybody say it. Another Arkansas yacker. Open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it. And the Lord is going to give you a command. The word he gave me is going to give you a released articulation and a new freedom to express yourself in any kind of a situation and have a free flow of words. Hallelujah. The right word to the right person at the right time. Let's get this family in here. I have an awesome word for you. And it has to do with your whole family. And it's Romans 9:17. For this purpose have I raised you up. And that's talking about visibility. The Lord just gave me a word. He's going to give you more visibility to the unsaved world. For this purpose have I raised you up, that I might show and display to the unbelieving world my power in you, and that my name might be declared everywhere you go. And Hebrews 2:4. Says you're going to go and share your faith and witness, and you're going to be a family that's united around the centrality of the Lordship of Jesus, and that God is going to back you up with signs and with wonders and with diverse miracles and with gifts of the Spirit. So the Lord has definitely put this family together. Everybody say it. This marriage was made in heaven. I know that Ann Landers will never buy it, but I'm saying it anyway. And put down Isaiah 8:18. I and the children. There's five of them all together. Okay. Listen, Isaiah 8:18. I and the children that the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders to his church. Hallelujah. So there's your word. Isn't that great?
We have
Yeah, Doug, I get a word for him in Luke 10:20. He says, rejoice not because demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice in this, that your name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Just, he needs to know that. Okay. Isaiah 43:4, put an A there. The first part of it is a powerful word. The last part is negative. Or cover something else. But Isaiah 43:4, he says, there's three things I want you to know. First of all, you're precious. Secondly, you're loved. And third, you have a faith that pleases the Lord. I want everybody to say it. You're precious. You're loved. And your faith pleases the Lord. I see some wounds and hurts from sarcasm and from criticism. Jesus is going to heal that right now. Psalms 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart. He binds up all their wounds. And the Lord said, tell her she's valuable, she's special, she's precious, and she is nothing like the critical, condemnatory voices said, or the oppressive accusation of Satan. Satan is trying to put a number and make her feel like less than equal, but in the eyes of the Lord, you're precious. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. I think everybody needs to hear that one. Okay, let me... I'm getting a word on guidance for you. And that guidance and direction will really be easy. Guidance and direction will be easy. Psalms 32:8, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way that you're to go. And I'll guide you with my eye. And Isaiah 30:21 says, you're going to hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, hallelujah. And listen to this, Isaiah 58:11. I want everybody to quote Isaiah 58:11. I'm quoting from Albert Barnes' notes, but just say this, the Lord will guide you continually. And he will fortify your bones. And he will arm your body for spiritual warfare. And your soul will be like a watered garden. So the good news is you're going to fight the good fight of faith. I want to tell you something about this fight. It is rigged. So we already know the outcome. Ever wonder why Satan doesn't get discouraged and give up and quit? Psalm 75:6-7. Proverbs 22:29. I want everybody... What's your first name?
Buddy.
I want everybody to say, good news, buddy.
Good news, buddy.
He's improving on your job skills.
He's
raising your levels.
He's raising your
levels. He's expanding your sphere of influence. And he's improving on your quality of life. And I want everybody else to grab your Bible and say, I'll take that. Okay. Yeah. The judge? I'm going to write to him. Yeah. Because I'm going to be at Mount Hope, Michigan real soon. And you're not too far from Lansing, are you? I'll write to him. Ecclesiastes 7:14, the downswing of adversity is over. The upswing of prosperity has been released. And I want you to say, God, I want you to say, I'm not afraid to prosper. I want you to say it. I don't want everybody to quote it who has a fear that prosperity would destroy you. I want you to quote it with me because you need to break that fear. The more prosperous you are, the more generous you can be for the kingdom of God. It's that simple.
I want everybody that has a fear of prosperity. My pastor put that fear in me. He said, Dick, people cannot be trusted. God gave money, they'd backslide. We were raised on that. Our church was out there between Starvation Acres and Poverty Flats. I had shoes so thin that when I stepped on a dime, I could tell you whether it was heads or tails, you know. I mean, I opened my wallet and a moth flew out, you know. One time I took a penny out, Lincoln was blinded by the sunlight. But listen to this. Everybody that was raised to be afraid of prosperity, say it with me from Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Just say this, he's not going to bless me and destroy me at the same time. I want us to put two hands up. There's people that have got a habit broken with poverty. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, no grief, no anguish. He is pleased to prosper his people. God, send that poverty demon back to Salt Lake. Bury him in the slime piss of the Great Salt Lake. Hallelujah. I got good news for you. Deuteronomy 33:12. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. I want you to come over here because I want to show everybody something. You folks stay right there. You just keep your back this way. Okay, listen. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety, and the Lord shall cover him all day long and dwell between the shoulders. Here's a shoulder blade here. Here's a shoulder blade here. The Lord says, here's where I am, right here. How many believe that's pretty safe? If you go out on an interstate highway, take that verse with you. Isn't that a wonderful word? Hallelujah. Okay, husband and wife, you did get it by yourself. It's an unfinished task. It's a vision yet to be fulfilled. It's a dream yet to be realized. It's a promise yet to be fulfilled. But within the next 18 months, you're going to be turning the corner. And I have to say this. This is something I'm feeling inside of me. Rather than a thus saith the Lord. I'm just feeling this inside of me because of my counselors and the people that I'm accountable to that recommend this. I feel that within the next 18 months, you're going to be turning the corner. And Isaiah 25:9, everybody that's waiting for your answer, say this. It should be said in that day. This is the Lord. I've waited and waited and waited. It's been a long time coming, but this is it. Hallelujah. The guy told me I waited so long for my ship to come in that when he finally came in, they were having a dock strike. That is not going to happen to you, ma'am. Your ship is coming in. I get a beautiful word for you. What's your first name?
Greg.
Greg. Isaiah 33:6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be a platform of stability. Hallelujah. I want this couple to stand right here, and I want Glenn and Irma to stand here, and I want you to hand this to this lady and let her write it up. Could you come on over here? Because I'm getting some wisdom and knowledge scriptures for you and for you. Could you come on in? And I'm also getting them for you. Let me basically say, without it getting into semantics, that knowledge is facts. Say this, God's omniscient.
God's omniscient.
He's got all the facts.
He's got all the facts.
There isn't anything he doesn't know.
There isn't anything he doesn't know.
Now listen to this. Knowledge is easy to those that are following the Lord. Knowledge is easy,
It's Proverbs 14:6. God's omniscient. He knows all things. Knowledge is easy. The word easy in my Greek Old Testament is the same as my yoke is easy. Operates means no weight. There's no stress, no pressure to it. So God has all the facts. And I'm speaking to three people. I hope you can write in triplicate.
Carbon paper.
Now let me tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is how to proceed. Wisdom is procedural. Noah knew there was going to be a flood. He had the knowledge. But he didn't know what to do until the Lord gave him a word of wisdom. Build the ark. But God never told anybody else to ever build an ark. That was the wisdom for that occasion. Lot knew that the city was going to be destroyed the next day, end up under the bottom of the Dead Sea. He knew it. Abraham knew it a week before. But he didn't know what to do until the Lord said, go to the top of that mountain. So God's omniscient. He has all the facts. And it's easy to tune into the facts. The thing that isn't so easy is once you know a thing, how do you proceed? So the next word is James 1:5, and it says, if any man lack wisdom, see, if any man lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give to all men liberty and upbraid not. We're going to move fast on this one. I've got 11 wisdom and knowledge scriptures for this couple. Are you married? Okay. So you're going to get a double portion. Because this is, I want every husband to take his wife's hand and say, honey, this is for us. Because this is the anointing for the 90s in wisdom and knowledge and discernment. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12:8, to one is given a word of wisdom. Let's everybody say it. To one is given a word of wisdom. And to the other, a word of knowledge. Colossians 2:3. I want you to say it. In Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Romans 11:33. How unsearchable are his riches. His wisdom and his knowledge are past finding out. Isaiah 33:6. Say it with me. Wisdom and knowledge should be a platform of stability. I want you to say it from Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 24:3-4. I want you to say it. Wisdom's going to build the house. Understanding's going to stabilize it. Knowledge is going to put the furniture in it. Ecclesiastes 2:26. I want you to say it. God gives to a man that which is good in his sight. Wisdom and joy. But to the sinner he gives travail. To gather and to heap up. That he might give that which he accumulates. To the righteous. I want you to say, all those fat cats have been storing it up all these years. For us skinny cats. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wisdom and knowledge. Okay, that's your word. All right. I just had to go the whole distance on that one because the Lord showed me it's for these beautiful people here. 2 Samuel 23:12. The Lord gave me word. You're going to be vindicated. From false accusations, from misunderstandings, and from critical voices, you're going to be vindicated in this world. And you're going to be justified. Jeremiah 1:19 says, the enemy's going to fight. He's got that very nature, hostility, wants to come against the. He's going to fight, but he'll never prevail against you because I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, to deliver you. Say it with me, Jeremiah 1:19. The enemy will fight, but he'll never prevail. I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 2, verse number 8. Put down B there. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. Would you say that? He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. Does that speak to you? Wow. There's your word. Good thing. Jeremiah 29:11. And Jeremiah 29:13. Put down Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. The word find is like looking for gold. Just looking for something that's lost, or find something that you put away and you're going looking for it. And the word means located. Seek the Lord while he may be located. Say it with me, would you? Seek the Lord while he may be located, and call upon him while he is near. Now that word near is also where you get our word neighborhood. I mean, those words are synonymous. So the idea is call upon the Lord while he may be located. Seek the Lord while he may be located, and call upon him while he's in your neighborhood. And Jesus is in your neighborhood right now. And if he comes through my neighborhood, I want to go off immediately. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you're going to. You're going to. I get two words that the Lord is bringing you along on his timetable and on his terms. But he is bringing you along. And it's Isaiah 28:10. And it says it's line on line. It's precept on precept. It's a little here. It's a little there. The good news is you're in motion and he's bringing you along. And everybody say it with me from Exodus 23:30. Say these words. Little by little, you're going to gain ground till you come into full possession. It's just a matter of time. Isn't that great? The spirit of heaviness replaced with the oil of joy. Isaiah 61:3, garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the oil of joy for mourning, and beauty for ashes. And the Lord is going to let you be exhibit A, that nobody has to walk through this world and get all beat up by circumstances and have a cloud of depression over them for the rest of their life. You're going to be above it. You're going to be above. You're seated in the heavenly places, and you're looking down on the depression, not up. And listen to Psalms 30, and it says, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing, and put off the sackcloth, and girded me with gladness. Psalms 30, verse number 11. So the Lord gave me this word, oppression will not be over you, you'll be over the oppression. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Romans 16:20 says the God of peace shall bruise Satan right under your feet. And the word bruise on trivia actually means to crush in pieces. Luke 10:19, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Who sang the song, these boots were made for walking, I'm going to walk all over you? Was that Jane Fonda or Nancy Sinatra? Hey, turn it over to the demons. These shoes, I'm shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Romans 16:20, the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your feet. These shoes are made for walking, and Satan, I'm going to walk all over you. Hallelujah. You need to tread down fear, and you need to tread down insecurity, and you need to tread down poverty. Stomp on it. Boy, and if those shoes won't do it, get some shoes that will. Hallelujah. Get some charismatic Reeboks. Okay, put your fighting shoes on. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got a word and I can't find it where Paul said, Timothy, from a youth you were trained in scriptures, from a young man, something about scriptures, ever since you were a young man, something about from your youth you were taught scriptures. Does anybody know where that one is? Something about remember the scriptures, and that from a youth, from an early age. What is it? 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy. There's something about Timothy that it says from a very early age, he was, okay, from a child. Here it is, 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child, you have become personally and intimately acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, and they're going to make you wise unto salvation. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:15. Isn't that great? So you're on your way, man. You've got a long ways to go, but the Lord's going to go with you. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very one thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will keep it in motion, keep it going, and terminate it and complete it when this gospel age ends, right up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, good news. The Lord's begun a good work in you. He's gotten you this far. He's going to get you the rest of the way. Ah, hallelujah. Isn't that great? 1 Corinthians 3:6. One plants, one waters. God gives the increase. And Jeremiah 31, 12 and 13. You're going to come and sing in a new high place in Zion. The two of you are going to flow together because of the goodness of the Lord. And it says the results you're going to have in your life are going to be wheat, wine, and oil. And these are symbolics of salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and healing. You're going to touch young and old, and your soul shall be continually refreshed by the goodness of the Lord. Put down verse 14. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. So, a lot of good things out there ahead for you people. Young lady, it's a new sensitivity to guidance. What's your first name? Can you come a little closer so I can speak to you, Carolyn? Isaiah 30:21 says you're going to hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And John 10:4 and 10:5 says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll never follow. And the Lord just gave me an interesting word for you. You're not ever going to be in a situation where you're spiritually stranded without direction, or without a support system, or without guidance, or without information as to how to proceed. The Lord's support system. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, underneath you are the everlasting arms. I want you to say, good news, Dorothy. You're standing. Was it Dorothy? Oh, it's Carol. Pardon me. Good news, Carol. You're standing on the promises. Some saints are just sitting on the premises. But you're standing on the promises. Hallelujah. Come on up here. John 12:32. The Lord is going to, he's already begun a release of what you call the Christ-centered personality enthroned in your heart. It's going to be attractive to women who have tried everything but the right thing, who've looked for love in all the wrong places. Genesis 49:10, people are going to be drawn to you and attracted to you, and they're going to reach out to you, and they're in desperation. In Psalms 142:7, it says people will feel comfortable coming to you and asking for input. And Job 11:18-19, in the New Translations, it says you're going to be so full of the love of God and so full of His glory and His holiness and His righteousness, His peace and His beauty, that it says people are going to come to you and ask you to help them. And don't be surprised if you see a lot of people out there just begin to open up to you, because the Lord's going to be lifted up and exalted in your life. He's going to use you, and He's going to use the enthroned Christ in your heart to attract people right into the kingdom of God. I've got a word that says He'll beautify the meek with salvation.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
He's going to use you, and He's going to use the enthroned Christ in your heart to attract people right into the kingdom of God. I've got a word that says He'll beautify the meek with salvation, and the Lord is going to do that for every woman in His kingdom, and He's going to show them that the real beauty comes from Jesus Christ being enthroned. And it says in Psalm 90, verse number 17, the beauty of the Lord is going to be reflected upon us. Psalms 90, verse number 17, and Psalms 147. Psalms 147 says this, that he said that the Jesus in you is going to become visible. People are going to see the Christ in you and be attracted, not to you as a person, but to the Christ that's in you. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, good picture.
Sure. I'd like to have you put this on another verse of scripture. 1 Timothy 2:15. 1 Timothy 2:15 says you're going to be saved in childbearing. Sozo, the Greek word, actually means made safe. Everybody say it. You'd be made safe in childbearing. Isaiah 40, verse number 11, He's going to gently lead you through the whole prenatal time. Everybody say it. He shall gently lead those that are carrying their young. I don't want to gross anybody out, but Isaiah 66:9 says, when the child is in the birth canal, the Lord is going to be right there to assist in the birthing process. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I cause to bring forth and then shut the womb? So the Lord says, I'll be there in the birthing process. Luke 1:57, I'm getting a word from the Lord, full term. No abortive action, no miscarriage, no premature birth, no complications. Full term. Elizabeth's full time. Full time came. I've got another one. Isaiah 66:8. My wife has worked in maternity, and she said, I know that you get these words from the Lord, but she said, I need to tell you how they feel in maternity. Because I'd been prophesying the last 2 or 3 years, 2 hours of labor. She says, most maternity departments cannot handle the 2 hour labor period. She said, would you pray about it? So Abraham said, listen to Sarah. And the Lord says to me, listen to your wife. She's been in maternity for 14 years. So anyway, I want you to know this. It says, as soon as you travail, you're going to bring forth. So I'm giving you a prophetic word with some sage wise advice from my wife, the registered nurse. Short labor, minimum 4 hours, maximum 6. First pain, get that tea kettle on the stove and eat that water fast. And one more big word, Philippians 4:19, this baby's paid for before you ever leave the hospital. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, God. Tell me your name. You know what? I feel there's some confusion here. Could you do this later?
Okay.
I feel like there's confusion, and what you're doing is disrupting a harmony I have by stopping the people as they go by. It's not a rebuke, but it may look easy what I'm doing, but could I tell you, it really isn't. I've got a sensitivity, and all of a sudden this lady's stopping people, and my spirit is getting troubled, and I know you don't want to block. You don't want to block it. Okay, when people are in the back talking, it gets to me, but I can't handle it because I have to realize that an audience that sits so long starts getting restless after a while. I know babies cry when they want to be changed. You know, I know that. But I feel like that when gifts of the Spirit are operating, it's a kind of a courtesy if we could cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know? Let's just pray that the rest of my time here, I've only got 20 minutes left, will be a refreshing time. The word I got is Philippians 3:13, forgetting everything that's behind you, turning around and getting ready for the future. Tomorrow's where it's at. Hallelujah. Everybody say, tomorrow's where it's at. Listen to this. Come on up here. I want to get both of you. I've got a word in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And it says the two of you are going to accomplish things together that neither one of you would be able to do by yourself. That the very fact God put you together and put Deuteronomy 32:30, you're going to be able to together accomplish things that neither one of you could do by yourself. One man went to a friend of mine that wrote a book on dreams, and he said, my wife has never been in my dreams. He said, I dream I'm traveling. She's not in the dream. I dream I'm in a church ministering, and he says, we work together, and she's not in the dream. So how come I have these dreams and she's never in them? And the man that's a friend of mine, he's an Episcopal brother in Pennsylvania, wrote a book on dreams. He says, because the two of you are one. He says, God doesn't see two people when he looks at you. He sees one. You're one in the Lord. So everything you see in that dream, your wife's included. So I just want you to know, both of you are one in the Lord. And together you're going to do things that neither one of you could do by yourself. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Yeah, I want you to take the same scriptures that other lady got. You'll have to get it off the tape because our time is kind of limited right now. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. The Lord will go before you, make the crooked places straight, break in pieces gates of brass, break in sunder bars of iron, and will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. And the word I'm getting is, you've been in grooming, preparation, training. You've been held in readiness for a long time. The Lord, this year, is going to open up the door and send you out in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. I'm getting a word that says God is enlarging, expanding, and increasing everything that he has invested in you. Psalms 115:14. The Lord's going to increase you more and more, and it said it's going to be so phenomenal that it will include all the members of your family. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 42:9, I'm doing a new thing. It's going to be fresh, invigorating, challenging, and stimulating, and you're going to be ready for it. So everybody say, good news, brother. Get ready for the new things. Life will never be dull for that, brother.
Mickey.
Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment is going to be dealt with. And Mickey, Isaiah 49:17. This was Isaiah 54:17, Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a standard. And put down Zechariah 2:5. He says, I'm building a wall of fire around about you. And I just want you to know, he says, you're going to be safe wherever you go. because you're going to get out right in the midst of a demonized world and be full of the Holy Ghost and put the enemy to flight. You're going to put the enemy to flight. Okay, hallelujah. Is this a husband and wife? Tell me about your grandchildren. Isaiah 59:21. This is my covenant with you. I put my spirit in your heart. I put my word in your heart. I put my blessing on your life. This is a covenant I make with you. My blessings will not leave you or your children or your children's children. From this time forth and forevermore. Jeremiah 31. If anybody in this place has children or grandchildren that aren't where they really ought to be with the Lord, I want you to take this verse for their recovery and their restoration. Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17. Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17. Say it with me. Refrain your voice from weeping. Refrain your eyes from tears. Your works shall be rewarded. Your children are coming back from the land of the enemy. Your children are coming back from the land of the enemy. And there's hope in your last days that all your children shall return home. Oh, hallelujah. Ramo! That's your word. That is your word. The word is that you are going to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Oh, I pray for that every day. God, help me to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Say it with me. You'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You'll just hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in. And John 10:4 and 10:5, the voice of a stranger they'll never follow. But John 10:27, they know the voice of the shepherd. Ooh. Hey, can we have our pen back? Okay. I started to feel like I did when they took my teddy bear away from me. Hey, there goes my pen. God be praised. I want to tell you something beautiful. You get born again, and the Lord puts you on a straight and narrow path going to heaven. It's a climb. But on that path, Isaiah called it the highway of holiness. On that path, somewhere along the line, there's a milepost that says faithfulness. You folks crossed that milepost a long time ago. And Proverbs 28:20 says, once you've established faithfulness, then you become the beneficiary of a lot of accrued bonuses, perks, benefits, vacations with pay, Medicare, IRS, retirement programs. I mean, you're in line for a lot of good things. And I know it sounds cornball to say Jesus is standing here talking to me, but he just said, tell them that from here on out, a lot of nice things are going to happen to them spiritually, physically, and financially. Oh, Jesus. How many of you say, hey, I'll take that one? Woo. Okay. This book's been out of print for 10 years. But we're in the process of reprinting it right now. This book sold something like 200,000 copies. He spoke and I was strengthened. 51 short prophecies. The publisher, Whitaker House, went a different direction, started doing classics, and I had to buy the plates back. We got them, and about 3 months ago, the Lord spoke to me to reprint the thing, and we don't have the money to reprint it, and it takes a lot to get the first printing. These people can tell you that, but we feel like it needs to come back and print. Jeremiah 31... 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with tender loving care, I'll keep you to myself. Isaiah 43:4 says, you're precious to the Lord. And Ephesians 1:6, King James says, you're accepted in the beloved. Everybody say it. You're loved. You're precious. You're accepted. I want you to say to the person next to you, God will never love you any more in the future than he loves you right now. Say it again. He'll never love you any more in the future than he loves you right now. Isn't that great? All you've met is conditional love. Conditional love says you got to measure up in order to be accepted. So everybody has set performance levels, achievement levels, attainment levels so high nobody can measure up. God is going to show you an unconditional love that has no stipulations to it. It's just as though he loves you because there's nobody else to love but you. Plus, he's going to free you from people trying to impose their will on you to get you to measure up to performance and attainment levels. Oh, God, deliver us from people's pressures to try to live their lives through us. You're going to have the luxury of being the person you've always wanted to be. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. I had relatives that had my whole life mapped out. And when I announced to one of my aunts I'm called into the ministry, she looked at me and said, what a waste. Another relative looked at me and says, you'll never make it. Another relative says, I thought you wanted to do something with your life. How many discovered you can't live your life by the expectation of all your relatives and friends? Listen to this. Malachi 3:10, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There isn't even room enough to receive it. And I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. And there's a little word that gets overlooked. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful people, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Malachi 3, 10, 11, and 12. I think verse 12 gets left out. Just say, all nations shall call you blessed.
All nations.
You shall be a delightful people, a delightful land, a delightful inheritance. And he gave me a word that he's going to increase your joy. Hallelujah. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. Verse number 19, you're going to increase your joy. He showed me that you have creativity, you have artistry, you have originality, you have spontaneity, you have art forms. Now, I don't know whether this group of people will let you do mimes and dancing as an art form, but somewhere along the line, you're going to find an avenue of expression for all the creative abilities you have. Could be right here. But it's in there. It's got to come out. Put down 2 Timothy 1:6. You got to stir up the gift that's in you. You're a real artist. And the Lord says, I'm good. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to let that art surface. He also gave me a word that he's going to give you an uncanny ability to be wise in money matters. And you'll know it the day that you get out of debt. That's true. You know.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the ripple effect. That's the Jerusalem getting out of debt. Okay, there's your word. Exodus 33:14. My presence shall go with you, and you'll be safe wherever you go. And Zechariah 2:5. I'm going to build a wall of fire around about you, and I'm going to put my glory in the midst of you.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Okay, for the people that are handling, you're the usher there, we're going to have to use this as a cutoff point. Yeah, but I've got a physical factor. I can only do so much. And we're dealing with this treasure dwells in earthen vessels. And I have to live with an earthen vessel. So I've got something that I feel in my spirit we're going to be able to do for those of you that never made it in the line. Come on up here. Acts 16:31, you and your household are being saved. Because you believe on the Lord, you're saved, not your household. Luke 19:9, salvation is coming to your household. And Malachi 3:17 says they're all going to be mine. Hallelujah. They're all going to be mine in the day that I make up my jewels. You might send somebody out for a glass of that pink punch that they have, you know, that red punch. Could you get that? I'm kind of dehydrated here. So, these are all precious jewels. Isn't that wonderful? 30 years preparation for a work that's going to last 3.5 years. 30 years preparation. Let me have your hand. For a work that's going to last 3.5 years. Isaiah 43:13. I'm working in your behalf. Nothing's going to offend it. Let's just pray peace right now in Jesus' name. Let's just breathe peace, shall we? Because first of all, I've got a physical thing and I need to get a clear channel on what we're doing here. Forgive me if we said anything that offended that child or disturbed that child or troubled that child. Forgive me, Lord. Let peace prevail right now. Isaiah 43:13, I'm working for you. Isaiah 33:10, he said, I'm working right now. And Isaiah 3:10, it shall be well with you. Job 23:10, you're getting ready to surface after a long time of preparation for something special. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to go to the Father. And the Lord said, 30 years of preparation for 3.5 years of signs and wonders. That doesn't mean you're going to die at the end of the 3.5 years. But it means that God's going to give you people that can take it from there. Hallelujah. Come on up here, young man. Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better are the days ahead of you than the days that are behind you. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Bring the Lord into all your future plans, because there's evil coming to the earth, and it won't be that easy to go find a word from the Lord. So he says, now's the time to bring the Lord into your future plans. Psalms 37:5, commit your way unto him. Trust also in him. He's going to put it all together for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 48:15. New International Version says you're going to succeed in your mission. And Isaiah 48:17, he says, I'm looking out for what's best for you. And all the guidance and direction you get has this in mind. Only what's best for you. Isn't that good? 1 Peter 5:7, you two are together. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And Psalms 55:22, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he'll sustain you. And Proverbs 16:3, Amplified Bible, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust your future to him, and he will cause your thoughts to agree with his will. And every plan you have will succeed. It's a good verse, and I really feel like we all need it. I feel like I need it. I'm taking a plane from, the Lord willing, Little Rock to Dallas. I'm changing to a plane that goes from Dallas to Chicago. I'm changing to a plane that goes from Dallas, from Chicago to Stuart Newberg. I get there tonight at 11:20 p.m. and have to be to church tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock for an Easter service in Fishkill. And I just need the Lord First of all, to help my luggage to get there. Second, to help go catch the plane in time. And third, just to make all those connections without any cancellations or any delays. So everybody say it concerning the plans for your life. Proverbs 16:3, say these words. Turn your future over to the Lord. Leave it completely in His hands. He will cause your thoughts to agree with His will. And your plans will succeed. Everybody put your hand on your forehead. We're going to say it again. He will cause your thoughts to agree with His will. Your plans will succeed. And that's from the Amplified, Proverbs 16:3. Isn't that great? Okay. Come right on up. I've got something that's going to speak to everybody else that's seated, so don't anybody leave. Psalms 90, verse number 15. If you're tired of the hassle, you're tired of the slough at this pond, Pilgrim's Progress, you're tired of wading through the manure, and you're tired of all the cruddy stuff that Satan's throwing at you. Psalms 90, verse number 15. David said, Lord, I want every one of those bad days in the past to become beautiful days in the future. I want every one of those miserable months in the past to be miracle months in the future. Psalms 90, verse number 15. And I want every one of those traumatizing years to be triumphant years. And the Lord gave me Ecclesiastes 7:14 for you. The downswing's over, and the upswing has begun. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He that has called you, who will also do it. Psalms 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Philippians 1:6, we're confident that He which has begun the good work in you shall keep it going right up to the coming of the Lord. In Proverbs 4:18 says, your path is like the sun coming up in the morning, that's shining more and more under the perfect day. I walked out on Glenn's porch about 5:30 just to look at that thermometer, 5:36, and it said 24. Come out about an hour and a half later, it's up to 28. But I tell you what, the minute the sun hit, boy, did things warm up good. And I want everybody to say it, because it's your path and my path is like the dawning sun. Just say these words. The path of the just is like the rising morning sun that's shining bright. And it's going to shine brighter and brighter right up to the perfect day. Let me tell you what the perfect day is. It's when Malachi said it's when the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings. Hallelujah. I'd like to have everybody stand up, because I'm going to speak to the people on the first three rows here, or the first four rows. And is there another one here? Okay, let's get these two ladies up here. In the meantime, would you all turn to Job 36:16? Can you write this? Let me minister to her, and then I'm going to minister to you. Matthew 25:29, and Matthew 13:12. It says, put an A there, first part. To him that has, it shall be given, and he will have more in abundance. And Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. And Habakkuk 2:1 and 2:2 says, just keep on doing what you're doing. Stand at your post of duty. God is going to meet you there. He's going to answer you, and He's going to show you the plans from here on out. So everybody say to the young lady, I missed her first name. Linda, everybody said, Linda, keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing it right. Linda, go with what you got going for you. And I want you to say, Linda, do what you do best. And everybody say this, to him that has, it shall be given. And he'll even have more. Okay. Isaiah 61:7. It hasn't been easy. You've been tested and contested. You've been resisted and you've been persecuted. And Isaiah 61:7 says, enough is enough. Satan has tried to embarrass you, humiliate you, and shame you. But for everything you've had to put up with from the devil, the Lord says, I'm going to give you a double portion of blessing. Psalms 91, 14, 15, and 16, you've set your love upon me. I'm going to deliver you. You've known my name. I'm going to set you up in the high places. When you call upon me, I'll answer you and show you great, mighty things which thou knowest not. I bind infirmity in this body, and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you've read Jeremiah, you've read Job 36:16. I need you to put everything down because we're going to move from restriction to freedom. And I have to have you use both hands. Those of you that are in the first four rows that didn't get ministered to, get your 1992 calendar out. Put down Easter week. The Lord willing, we're going to be back Easter of 1992. Memorial? Oh, no, I meant Easter. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only time I got open in my schedule because we're doing overseas work. So, hey, you people in the first four rows, put down Easter 1992 and have them give you a little thing that'll let you sit right there when I come back 2 years from now. Yeah. A rain check. Okay. We did not deliberately ignore you. We just ran out of time and you have to realize I am a human being that has some limitations. We know that. Even when Moses had his hands up, he could only hold them up so long and then he put them down again. That's humanity. But it's nice to know that prophet's got feet of clay, you know. Not only do I have feet of clay, the clay goes up to the top of my head. Listen, Job 36:16, I'm removing you from spiritual limitations, physical confinement, and financial restriction. And I'm putting you into an arena where there's no limitations, no confinement, no restrictions. And that which I set on your table shall reflect my abundant love for you. Okay, we're going to put our hands out and we're going to move from restriction. I want everybody to put your hands real close together like you'd feel if you felt like you're being stifled or suffocated, because that word straightness in your King James actually means to be in a place where there's no breathing room, where the air is stifling, where you feel suffocated. So everybody put your two hands together and say this from Job 36:16. I'm removing you from a place of spiritual limitation, physical confinement, financial restriction. Now we're going to move it over. I'm putting you into an arena. And I want you to say it where there's no restriction. There's no confinement. There's no limitation. Okay, now we're going to do something about that spread. I want you to be thinking grandma's farm, Thanksgiving Day, 12-course dinner that doesn't even include the mince pie. And we're going to say, in that which is set on your table, even if you have to push two people aside on both sides, I want you to make it big. Listen, gang, forget going through the drive-thru at McDonald's and getting a burger and a malt. I mean, woo, let's make that spread big. So say it with me, that which I set on your table shall reflect my abundant love for you. Let's go back to this. I'm removing you from all limitations, all confinement, all restrictions, and I'm putting you into an arena where there's no limitations, no confinement, no restrictions, and that which I set on your table shall reflect my abundant love for you. That which I set on your table shall reflect my abundant love for you. And I want you to say to the person next to you, don't fence me in. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's give the Lord their glory, shall we? Praise God.
Father, we pray strength into Brother Mills. We pray strength into him, Lord. We pray rest into him this afternoon and tonight as he flies. May there be rest for him. We pray supernatural rest unto him today for tomorrow's service, and may he be a joy and a blessing, and the glory of the Lord flow through him tomorrow. We praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Glory to God. Hey, that's
praise
great.
The praise the Lord.
Wow, amen. I feel like flying.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.